I'd like to call this regular meeting.
6:30 PM.
To order, would the secretary please call the roll?
For the record, Commissioner Calvo is absent. Commissioner Conser?
Here.
Commissioner Enriquez?
Here.
Commissioner Gregorio?
Here.
Commissioner Padilla?
Here.
And Commissioner Zaram?
Here.
All right, public comments. Public comments is the section of the agenda for members of the public to address the board on items that are not listed on the agenda. Has the secretary received any requests to speak or e-comments?
No e-comments, but three public comments at this time.
Thank you. And we're going to go ahead and get started with Cheryl Perez. She's a resident, and she's going to be commenting on, public comment for Harborside Park.
Can you all hear me from here?
Do you want to go up to the podium?
A little bit of history about Harborside 2013, Harborside Park. Pomotoros bring first park to West Chula Vista in 25 years by Rosalie Aguilar Santos. In 2000, Pomotoros spoke with local residents and discovered a lack of active space in the community, and their residents wanted a park. They spent about 3 months surveying residents in the west side of Chula Vista. Children in the area lived mostly in apartment buildings, condominiums, and in low-income housing units, so they really didn't have anywhere to play. The west side hadn't built a new park in at least 25 years, and the city's east side had parks to spare. They learned that families said they didn't feel safe going to parks, and the closest park was not really close to them. They found there were several concerns among residents, including an abundance of neighborhood gangs, vagrants in the area, drug and alcohol abuse, and a lack of a safe park. All of these were barriers which kept parents and children indoors. It was realized that residents needed a place of their own, a central place where they could gather to talk to one another, or a place to take their children outside to play. They realized that a safe park could be the solution to many of the community's problems. An empty lot adjacent to the Health and Human Services was identified as an ideal location, as the park was close to Harborside Elementary School. The city council decided on building a park for the community in the spring of 2005, and it opened in April 2006. Although residents living on the west side of Chula Vista now have a park to enjoy, there is certainly a need to ensure that the park remains vibrant and accessible to the community. We want to make sure that the park is available to any community member and that people feel safe going there. This is why city officials, law enforcement, the CVCC, and Health and Human Services Department continue to hold meetings to discuss how to keep Harborside safe. Even though that article was written 20 years ago this month, a lot of it sounds familiar today. There will always be children in Harborside. The community wants a safe park, and we have been speaking out continuously since May 4th, when the four council members railroaded the Phase 1 reopen Harborside vote into a no park at all, but housing instead. I listened to the audio of the July special meeting that you had. The community is very grateful for your vote to implement Phase 1 as presented by city staff. However, we need you to send that recommendation to reopen a safe Harborside park now, not wait until city staff comes to you. The next time a vote comes before the city council about the future of Harborside Park, it might be to declare it surplus land. Please, as the Park and Recreation Commission, speak up to council as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. Next, we have Berta Lopez, Harborside Park.
Good evening. Thank you so much for volunteering to serve in this commission. I know that is your time, that you should probably be at home with your families, so thank you for representing us. My name is Berta Lopez. I'm a longtime resident of Chula Vista. I'm also an educator. I retired after 40 years of being an educator, an elementary school teacher. I'm here to basically, I don't want to repeat what Cheryl was saying. We're working with the steering committee, and it's called Safe Harborside. That's what we want to do. It's so beautiful to see this master plan for all these parks. And I'll tell you, all these parks are in my area, because I don't live on the west side. However, because the parents asked me to come and help them and save Harborside, that's the reason why I got involved. Harborside is an elementary school district with about over 500 kids. They do not have a place to play. Most of the people around it, they live in apartments. And you know, we just went through COVID. They had to stay inside the apartments. And now, basically, the park that they did have, because of other circumstances, it was closed. And the city has opted to sell it as surplus land. We don't want that to happen. We really, really thank you for your support. but we want some other action that can be possible on your behalf, maybe perhaps writing a letter so the city council knows that you mean business. They appointed you to this commission, and you are so valuable. Your participation is so valuable that we need your help. I'm gonna go ahead and leave you with some of our flyers. And we're a steering committee. It's all a volunteer people. There's basically, it's a nonpartisan issue, but we are working very hard to save the park for our kids. And I say my kids, even though I don't live there, I'm an educator at heart, and everyone is a kid. And I'm sure that you all had really good teachers when you were growing up, and you do remember a good teacher. And I want kids to remember that we have good educators that want to get involved with the community. So thank you so much for being here tonight, and please help us. We need your help. We want parks to look like this. You know, I live in Bonita, and I have a park 3 houses away from me. I have another park that's a half a mile away from me, and another park that's another half a mile. These kids do not have a park. Right now, that park is closed, and the city council promised them that they were gonna renovate that park. And now they changed their mind. In every single meeting, there are people there speaking on their behalf. So that's what we're here for. Thank you so much for being here tonight. So I'm gonna go ahead and leave you some flyers and you can just pass them out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Berta. Next we have John Knox regarding complaint about Mount San Miguel Park.
Hello everybody, my name is John Knox. I have been a resident of Chula Vista since 1999. I am a former classroom teacher for CVSD for 23 years. I continue to work part-time for CVSD. Thank you for your service to the community. Thank you for the opportunity to give comment tonight. During the pandemic, my wife and I, who is also a classroom teacher, we became big fans of the parks here in Chula Vista. We take daily walks and go out to the parks. And one thing that always annoyed us was when we went to the parks and we saw trash and recyclables on the ground. And so we decided that we would multitask whenever we went out to the parks for our walks, and we focused on the 6 that are closest to us in San Miguel Ranch where we live. We would bring with us some grabbers, which we bought from Lowe's. We'd bring a few grocery bags, and we would pick items up and dispose of them properly. And so we've continued to do that in the wake of the pandemic, and we've spoken to city staff when we've gone out, and we appreciate all that they do. We know that they have a big job to do in keeping up with the volume of trash. But I just wanted to bring to your attention a couple of persistent problems at 2 of the parks in particular, and those are Mountain Hawk Park and Mount San Miguel Park. Mountain Hawk Park, you know, has a beautiful view of Lower Otay Lake there, very popular place for birthday parties and special events. The problem is that birthday parties involve large gatherings, piñatas, gifts, lots of food over the weekends, and what we find when we go there during the week is that a lot of that trash has been spread around by animals that live in the adjacent area. That's a big problem. Another problem is what's being shown on the screen here. You can see those shiny blue objects that are there. So in addition to birthday parties, a popular thing to do is have these reveal parties. So people will gather to reveal whether or not a baby is going to be a boy or a girl. They bring these poppers, and out come things that look like this. I brought a few of them myself that I collected. That was taken several weeks ago. We went back there today. These are still there. I don't know how long they're going to be there, but there are thousands of them. And I'm not sure what can be done about it, but it's really a sad thing to see that in such a beautiful park with beautiful view and wildlife so nearby. So that's something we want to bring to your attention. The other park is one closer to us, Mount San Miguel Park. That one, you might know, the softball leagues come there most nights. A lot of people from out of the area come in. Softball's great. I love seeing people out there playing softball, but there's a whole lot of trash that is left behind. Lots of parting that goes on. Oh, thank you. So, that's, if we can see just quickly, if you look up close, you can see all the little stuff, and that's what kind of annoys us. You get all this little stuff that gets spread around, a lot of cigarette butts. We're not supposed to be smoking in our parks, but a whole lot of it goes on there. And we find a lot of alcoholic beverage bottles, things like that, all the time when we go there. So we just wanted to bring these items to your attention. I am not sure if this commission or even City Council can take any action or do anything that will remedy these issues, but I think it's just important to bring it to your attention, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, John. Last we have Leticia regarding Harborside Park.
Good afternoon. My name is Leticia Lares, and I'm here also to talk about Harborside Park. I really thank Cheryl and Meta that they are also working on favor of Harborside Park. And I'm a resident of District 4, and I live 2 blocks away from Harborside Park. And I am here to ask for your support. The support is for my community, and the cause that we have is St. Harborside Park. I'm not the only one who's fighting for it, as you can see. There are other people that is joining us on this fight, but they can be here right now because most of them are parents that are working. They have extracurricular activities with their children right now, or they are working because they have 2 jobs to continue paying our rent that keeps going up and up every 6 months. In this fight, I'm here representing my neighbors. I live on 4th Avenue, and in Harborside Park belongs to Harborside area. There's 4th Avenue all the way to Industrial Boulevard. And that is, we're here to raise our voice and ask you to raise also your voice on behalf of our park. This park belongs to the families of Harborside area and all who wants to visit it. And also for the children. And talking about the children, as they mentioned, there's a teacher, and Ms. Merta's home's teacher. I'm the instructional assistant for special education as well. And every morning, I live in the complexes that are one of the complexes that I am for Avenue. Every morning, at 7:30 in the morning, but the school buses pick up children in a wheelchair. And not only one, there are 3 kids that I have seen that are special education, and they are in a wheelchair. So these kids need a park because they spent all the years of their life that they have been in a chair and not enjoying going outside because there's not a park. And also, there was a moment that one of the city councils mentioned that we have park, and my city council mentioned, oh, we already opened Larubac Park. Larubac Park is not a good park for kids in a wheelchair because it has so many bumps. Also, it's not a flat area. The only good park I can say is Harborside Park because it's flat. In a place where the kids and the families together, all ages, all generations can enjoy this park. And when the parents are just watching their kids or grandparents are watching their grandkids, they are in a flat area. And then when they are in the need of running or go after a child, they are going to be safe rather than being in the public park that is in Larubac that is bumpy. So I'm asking you here to please help us and support us. The options that the city council is are exploring, that is not something that is going to work for our community. Plus, they mentioned the possibility of building something like another complex. The apartments or residences, they need green areas. We don't have that. And if you check the map, I don't see it here, but if you check the map, our district is the smallest district and does not have any park in there, in all of that area. So, and they want to take away the only one that we have. So we are here.
Thank you for your time, Leticia. Thank you. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the public comment. Next. Now we have our action items. The first item is 4.1, approval of minutes. of June 15th, 2023, and July 20th of 2023. Staff recommendation is for us to approve the minutes. Do the commissioners have any clarifying questions for staff? I did just see one, if we wanted to vote on it, I just wanted to make note on the July 20th that number three, public comments, we did have a resident speak at Harborside Park regarding the opening, the reopening of Harborside Park. So I think Gio has the name.
Yes, I'll add it.
Okay.
Thank you.
There are no clarifying questions. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of June 15th and July 20th, 2023, with the one adjustment that I have requested? I have a motion by Commissioner Zaram.
I'll second.
I have a second by Commissioner Padilla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Nope. Okay, cool. That motion passes. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is item 4.2, recommendation to approve the park master plan for the 1.414,000th acre park in P1 in Otay Ranch Village 2.
Thanks. Hey everyone, good evening commissioners, good evening public. My name is Kevin Jeffrey and I am a landscape planner with the city of Chula Vista. This is my first time presenting to this body and it is very nice to meet all of you and I look forward to working more in the future as I continue to work here. So we're here today to talk about an approximately acre and a half park or 400,000.
I'm elementary school principal.
So we're here to talk about an acre and a half park in Village 2. This presentation that we have set up for you today will not only talk about the design inspiration for the park, but it will talk about the master plan for the park and give you the overall concept. This park, currently known as P1, is in Otay Ranch Village 2's Village of Montecito core area. This park is to be privately maintained and owned by the Village of Montecito's Homeowner Association with a public access agreement, easement over it. Here with me are some key members of this project. We have Maura D. With Baldwin & Sons, the developer, and then from Schmidt Design Group, who is the project landscape architects, we have Glenn Schmidt and then Tyler Tucker. And so with that, I'll pass it over to Maura to start the presentation.
Good evening.
Move it out a little bit.
So my part of this presentation is to give you a quick overview of the parks that our company, Baldwin & Sons, has delivered to the Village of Montecito and Montecito Ridge, which are both in the same HOA. That Montecito Ridge is this little area here, and that's what's called Village 7, West Village 7. And then the larger area is Village 2, which is Village of Montecito. And my part of this is to just show you all of the parks that we have delivered so far, and then I will pass it off to Schmidt and our architect, and then we'll go over the new vision for the newest park that we have. So since 2015, we started over in this area, and I apologize if this wasn't on a slide, but hopefully you can get a sense of just the amount of parks in the area that they're all in. This Mulberry Park was the first park that we did in 2015. And I'm just going to go through and tell you what these parks have in them, all the amenities, so you also get a sense of everything that's available for the residents of this community. So in Mulberry Park, there's a seating area with trellis and stone columns, tot lots, basketball court, open space, and mulberry trees, and the theme of that. That was in 2015, and this is an HOA park. Then we moved over, and we went up to come to Jacaranda Park, which is in this area right here. That was the next park that we built, and that was built in 2016. That one also has a top lot, trellis to see, basketball courts, jacaranda trees, and then some open space areas as well. And this is also a private park, so we kind of started off with the private parks, or the HOA parks. Then we went back over to this area, and we built the Montecito Clubhouse. So that's the big building that you'll see when you drive into the community. Have you all been there? Some of you have been there. So it's a beautiful facility, and that was the next swim. We call it a Montecito Clubhouse. It has a large building that can be rented by the residents. There is a swim, beautiful pool, spa, a waiting pool. We have a gym. There's all sorts of things in this area, and that is also a private facility. And then right adjacent to that is Montecito Park, and that is the first public park that we delivered to the community. And that was delivered in 2018. That park also has a tot lot, 2 to 5 year olds. It has a playground, 5 to 12 year olds. Picnic shelters, tennis courts, basketball courts. It's got some seating areas, restroom, and a large open turf area. And this park, there are two additional phases that will be constructed later. There's a phase two that's probably gonna start planning in the next year. And then that would be delivered maybe in 25, 26. And then there's a phase three. It's a real small part of it. It all connects really well together. But the phase three has to wait until a water line is relocated. And that's just a small little acreage. And then that whole park will be completed. Then after Montecito Park, we moved over to the next private area, Summerland Park. And this was built in 2020. After Summerland Park, did it in two little, it's a small area, but we did it in two phases. We did the park first, and then there's a pool. And that was delivered in 21, early 21. And this is, once again, a private, or an HOA facility. And then Meadow Park. These two parks are now open. They're lovely, lovely public parks. Meadow Park was opened in August of last year. And it's got wonderful features. It has a nice walking path around the perimeter of the park with exercise stations. It's got, there's picnic areas, there's top lots, turf field. There's a half basketball court for 5 to 12 year olds, and then there's a half court for adults and for all ages. Just lots of wonderful things. And then there's dog parks here too, small dog park and large dog park in this area. And then finally, just opened this little park. And that was opened on the 13th. Once again, a nice, very large turf area for, you know, a place where clubs can be used for all sorts of sports practices. And there's a path around the perimeter again. Want to take a nice long walk. There's tennis courts that are striped for pickleball, basketball courts. There's a tot lot, once again, divided into 2 to 5 year old, 5 to 12. And picnic areas, and then this park has an area where you can play cornhole or the bag toss that's built in. And then there's, you know, lots of seating areas. So these are the parks that we have delivered so far to the community. And we're really excited. This newest park is going to be right here. And we're excited with what we have planned for the park. It's a smaller area, but we think it's real nice. So I'm with that.
Good evening. I'm Glenn Schmidt, Schmidt's and Langer, company partner of our firm. We've been in business for 40 years and have designed pushing 300 parks throughout the region and several in Chula Vista. So I'm going to turn it over to Tyler, one of our talented landscape architects. I'll quite interject here and there, but we're going to give you a tour of our design. We're really excited to share this with you.
Thank you. Let's start off with the site context and the existing site analysis of the park. Going off what Maura said previously, you can see our park here And we have a 5-minute walking radius around here, and that shows how close that Oak Meadow, Grove, and Jackpine Park to these two parks here, how close those are to our site. And that helped inform us of what needed to be put on our site and what uses could be available to everyone.
What a tough box within that 5-minute walk.
Level playground.
Level playground.
Looking at the site analysis of the existing site, you can see that our site is really meant to be a gateway into the community. It's directly adjacent to the future U1 residential site, and then right behind that is the existing Solero development. In green, you can see the primary pedestrian entryways, and there is one right here that's meant to be a connection from the U1 park into MU1 through MU1 and will connect to the Solero development behind. In blue, you can see the pedestrian crossings, so the surrounding residential developments can access the park. And finally, in red is the existing multi-use trail for hiking, biking, walking, and that runs throughout the entire community from Heritage Road all the way to the Conway. And moving into the master plan park design. So, in keeping with the kind of Santa Barbara management style of the neighborhood, the park is designed as a forced perspective through the site. You can see there's kind of a central access here that pull your eye in through the site from the entryway all the way to the MU1 development in the back. And to accomplish this, there are four primary walkways through the site, and these kind of divide the park up into distinct outdoor rooms. The first being the monument sign entryway, which leads into our picnic area with overhead lighting, picnic tables. We have a central flexible turf space, and on each side of that are different game areas, which lead to our focal point with enhanced paving, a landmark compass rose feature, shade structures, and then finally, before we move on, you can see our passive seating area that will be more garden-esque and have bench seating opportunities for rest and relaxation. Taking a closer look at the park, first, this is our circulation diagram, and you can see those primary walkways here that lead up to MU1, and then our entryways from Santa Carolina and Santa Victoria that lead into our focal point at the center of the park. We also have DG meandering walkways on the side, so if you did want to make a loop through the park to walk, it is available. And then over here we have some character imagery. We have our overhead lighting up here in the picnic area, and then the existing Montecito clubhouse to kind of show the design style of the neighborhood.
There is some elevation change here, but we've accommodated accessibility throughout.
There are some stair access ways, but there's accessible access here, two on each road at the beginning of the park. And here we have a 3D illustration just showing that central access and that forced perspective through the site from the front monument entry all the way back into the MU1 development and the background on the adjacent site. Next, our two game areas. On the left, you can see we have two bocce ball courts, which we have some imagery up here. And then on the other side, we have ping pong, cornhole boards, foosball, and then both of these areas have accessible seating and shade opportunities with the surrounding trees. So, hot summer day, you have a little area to go to if you want to have a flexible area.
And you could do a loop walk around the turf, and there are benches along it too to kind of watch activity going on in the park.
And then here we have that second game area with the ping pong, corner of the boards, and the foosball in the background that we're seeing. And here, two exciting features of what we have on the site are these community walkers here. Now, these aren't meant to be full-on swings, just more of a passive seating area to sway. They could be tethered at the bottom, or they have a governor at the top, or it connects to a branch structure. So they're not really meant to sway out too far. And then towards our landmark feature, Compass Rose, we have two shaded picnic areas. And you can see here in our character imagery, up top would be a kind of perforated metal structure, so you can have shade, but then still have that kind of lighting break through to have a good pattern on the ground and pick the table number. And next we have our monument sign here at the entry, which is right next to that roundabout and walkway through the community. You can see the concept here. We have, it's finished with a stone veneer and stucco veneer, and that's meant to match the existing signs in the Montecito Village area and match their finishes. And then up top we have our enhanced paving area, which has our compass roads directly next to our shade structures. You see imagery there for that. And then finally, before you can exit into the MU1 neighborhood, we have a DG pathway with bench seating, and this is meant to be more of a relaxing, reflective area, a more gardenist planting palette to have a more passive environment next away from the lawn area. And then here you can see, this is looking from the lawn. We have our two shade structures, the compass rose, and then that garden in the background before you get to anyone on the adjacent side.
That just show you the context of the future multifamily facility and you want to bother.
And our next room is the flexible lawn area. It is mostly flat, it's quite large, so it's about a third of a football field. So there is room for active and passive activities. So if you want to come up here and, you know, just sit around on the lawn, picnic, we do have our community rockers and shade structure right next to the site. So if you want to find here and you need to be close to watch, there are those and benches along the primary walkways that we've shown. And then finally, this is a different bird's eye view just showing the overall park. And we're very excited for this park. I think it offers something great for the community. And thank you for listening.
This sorry, kind of shows you know, the palette will be Mediterranean, drought tolerant, with textures and colors throughout the year, and shade trees that accent the walkways and provide shade for folks to sit under. So yeah, we're excited and be happy to chat and hear the discussion and questions. That concludes our presentation.
I didn't hear anything. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure to point out, and I'm sorry, I didn't hear, maybe you already said this, but a lot of the parts that we've already delivered and planned focus heavily on very little kids, tot lots and playground areas, which are super important to our community. In this area, we felt like it was a good use of the space to make it more appealing for maybe some of the older kids and the adults. And plus, it's close to kind of a high traffic area, so we felt like that was a good choice. And you have these two large parks that we just opened that have wonderful play areas for the real little kids. So I think we're covering amenities for really all age groups with this little trio of parks. So I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out.
I had a question. A decision on bocce ball, is that something that is kind of researched to determine the use of a court like a bocce ball court? Is that something that was kind of like determined by the community, or just knowing that that's typically a good use of space because it's highly frequented?
We're trying to create a variety of activities, mm-hmm. More mansion, more kind of young adult focused, mm-hmm. And it often is a popular activity. And if you want to have a get together with some friends, we've got a couple courts. We have one that we created in Stylus Park, which was one of the examples we showed. But part of it is just having the room and watching activities. On the other side there, we have ping pong and back toss, the cornhole. Mm-hmm. Ping pong, sometimes you would think that it wouldn't really be that popular course because of wind. But we're finding that people really enjoy ping pong tables and people gather for that. So these are kind of amenities that we've had good success with in the past. And so that's kind of where that came from.
And what is the court made out of? Is it DG or what is the bocce ball court.
Yeah, it's like an advanced DG with, I mean, it has like seashell and stuff in it.
Yeah, it's actually, the DG is around. So the courts themselves are typically like an oyster shell, which has really good drainage and provides kind of a true roll.
Also, there's a park master plan for the entire city that kind of, prescribes like what kind of amenities that we're missing. So the applicant usually consults that as well and comes up with a good mix of activities.
Any other questions?
You're not allowed to speak until I say so? Is that what it is? Hold on, let me see what I have to say here. Okay, do the commissioners have any clarifying questions for the staff?
I have a few. How did the community meeting go? Were the people happy with what was presented?
And actually, we didn't have a huge group there, but the people that were there are very active residents. And the one thing that they did point out, they were very happy about the decision to plan this little area for an older group. I mean, obviously, anybody can go, but it's not encouraging people to go to kind of an area where there's a lot of cars. When you have really little kids, you know, if you want them to play on equipment and things, the residents that came were very happy with that decision. They thought it was wise, especially because these parks are really close. So if you do have little kids, you can use those.
So, okay. Restrooms? Are there restrooms?
No.
Okay. The ongoing fiscal, these whole parks, are they, I don't know if it's for staff or the team here, are they open to the public, even though they're a whole park?
They're open to the public, they're just not city maintained or ran, so we don't have rain or we won't do programming or things like that.
And the maintenance will not be on the city, it'll be on the HOA?
Correct.
So daily trash pickup, all that is on HOA?
Correct.
I guess for Baldwin, the map there, I have it on my phone here too. So and this might be for a city staff. Okay, you have the area within the blue boundary, right? Is that blue?
Yes, this is the outline of the community.
So Wolf Canyon, is that meant to be open space forever?
I would have to consult.
It's open space preserve.
And where that FAA beacon is, that obviously can't be touched, but the other part is open to.
Are you talking about Village 7 over here?
No, I'm talking about the round thing. There's a federal aviation beacon for aircraft. So that's off limits, obviously, but the rest of Wolf Canyon, is that open for hiking?
Well, there is some development being planned kind of in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going through approval. I think there's an amendment out there. I'm not working on that project, so I can't speak very well on it, but there are some proposed additional homes in this area.
Okay, I think that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. I have one. I noticed that in the community meeting, there were some comments made from the community members on the need to have adequate pet waste stations in the area. I just wanted to check on kind of where you're going to be adding. Is it just going to be the trash cans? Will there be those little, what's the word, receptacle things? Kind of what was the feedback with the response to them on that?
Yeah, we do have pet waste stations.
Okay.
A few of the primary gathering areas.
That's all. Thank you. All right. Is there a motion to approve the park master plan for the 1.5-acre P1 on Okai Ranch Village 2?
Motion to approve.
I have a motion by Commissioner Zarum.
And I'll second.
I have a second by Commissioner Conser. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, and next on our agenda, we have staff comments.
Yeah, just a couple of items from us. One, I wanted to thank Commissioner Gregorio and Commissioner Zarum, as well as Commissioner Calvo for attending the Grove Park grand opening. I hope I didn't miss anybody. The grand park reopening for grand opening for Grove Park. As shown on here, it's a beautiful park, giant field, plenty of place, good location there. So it's always a, it's okay. It's always a good day when we can open a new rec center or park. So the next one we have is not for quite a while, but we'll definitely keep you posted on that. Just an update. Last Tuesday, not one of the ones just passed, previous one, I believe it was the 12th, Tracy and myself presented the Hilltop Dog Park situation to City Council. City Council voted to allow there to be a dog off-leash, fenceless dog park at Hilltop Park. So that has passed through. What we're going to be doing is working with Public Works now to get signage up, to get dog waste bags, things like that. So that will be our second park in the city that is off-leash and fenceless. And we're working out the details, but that is gone, and so I don't think they should have to come back here for anything additional. Now, if there's another park, then we will hear that at that time as well. I want to turn it over to Sean. He'll talk to you guys about the champions run that we just did last week.
Yeah, so this past Saturday, the 16th, we had our 13th annual champions run. It was a great event. We had about 700 participants, adults, kids. And for the event, we had 12 sponsors. For the event, we made about $10,000 from our sponsors. We had 22 vendors in attendance, and we also had a beer garden ran by the Friends of Parks and Rec. It was a great event. We had tons of prizes to give away for the raffle prize. So we sold raffle tickets for that, and it was a great day.
I'm just going to give a quick update on the Loma Verde Community Center. We have a tentative grand opening day, which is Tuesday, October 24th at 10 a.m. Once we get the official invitations, we will be sure to send it out to all the commissioners. The pools are now plastered, full of water. They look beautiful. We did our initial punch walk. There's quite a long list of items on the punch walk. And so we are just waiting on the final punch walk and for the construction company to hand over the building to the city. So it still hasn't been handed over, but it does look beautiful.
That's our staff report. Any questions?
Thank you. I have a question for the Hilltop Park. Is there going to be a time frame for...
I believe that's going to be discussed with Public Works. I don't think we came up with a specific time frame just yet. I know there was conversations about it being from around 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., but we're still working on the language of what that's going to be looking like.
Have chair comments. I guess I'm the chair tonight, and I had a great time at the Champions 5K.
Great.
it was a great event. It was a little sprinkly, which actually made it a lot easier to run the thing and not get overheated. So
yeah.
I was sore the next day because I don't jog, but I did on Saturday.
There's a good
one. Huh? Ran the whole way?
No.
Oh.
Jog walk. Try, at least it was like, come on, make it worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. Thank you for that. It was a great
appreciate
event.
Yeah,
and then I just had a question. I just was wondering, and I know that we had at our last meeting motions to have our chair. Let's see if I go back to our minutes from July 20th.
Oh, 100%.
Yes. So a commission discussed Harborside, commission discussed to make recommendations to council. Did that happen?
That didn't happen. So refresh my memory. It was a motion to put it on, or I think we had a conversation just to put it on the next agenda. Is that correct?
I thought it was.
Or did we already? Did you guys already vote on it?
I thought it was to have to Commissioner Calvo speak on our behalf at the city council meeting.
So in that case, if it's already gone through, as far as I know, he hasn't spoken to city council. As mentioned earlier, every Tuesday night there's a number of speakers specifically on Harborside. Mm-hmm. So we can follow up with him on that item that was put through by you guys.
Okay. Yeah. I know we had already made our recommendation.
Yeah, I got lost in where that was, but I'll double check with him. I know he returns into town this weekend, so okay. We'll follow up with him.
Thank you. Now we have moved to commissioner comments.
Well, I have a few.
Sure.
Your rec center, what are the hours?
Right now we're in our soft opening phase, so it's 2:30 to 7:30.
So it's 2 o'clock or something like that. Okay.
And Fridays at 1.
So once it's completed, it'll change to like
6 a.m. to 10 p.m. sometimes.
Okay, because I was there and it's closed. I guess for the gentleman, was it John?
John Knox.
I guess we need to ask the rangers to make visits.
Yeah, so I spoke to him as he exited. I let him know that in our park rules, it does specifically say that no confetti, because once it goes, it's just impossible to clean up. Piñatas are approved at just a couple of parks. What I told him was that we would talk to our park rangers and our park maintenance staff to see if there's any extra cleanup that they need to do. I let him know also that when we come to a gazebo after the party, if it's a mess, there's confetti and things like that, we do keep the deposits for the users. So there is some sort of penalty with it. But I just let him know when he's out there, it's always helpful because we can't be everywhere all the time. But those are the things that we're trying to curb. It's just a tough thing, especially as, you know, the birthday parties are happening, we have stuff and the gender reveals, as he mentioned. It's hard to stay on top of, but it is in the park rules to not utilize.
Well, when somebody, let's say there's a group or somebody's name is on the reservation, and you had to, because of the trash, you had to keep the deposit, is there kind of like a three strikes kind of a thing?
So generally with those accounts, we do put red flags. And so what happens is if they want to enroll in any other program for Parks and Rec, even if it's a ballet class somewhere across town, their account will show a red flag. It won't limit them from being able, but the staff are aware so they can kind of see the note or didn't clean up, whatever the case is. So it might be different from different activities they use, but we do try to flag some of the accounts, especially if they've been, you know, repeat offenders, I guess.
So how much of a deposit are they for?
It's $100.
Okay. My next question is the plaque at the parks. When do we order those or set those up? Because Commissioner Calvo's name was not on the plaque.
At Grove, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to say that they're ordered 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks out. That sounds about right. Generally, I think right now we've already ordered the one for Loma Verde pool, but generally 6 to 8 weeks. I don't remember. Calvo, I'm not sure when he came on as a commissioner or when he became, he became chair in July, but I'm not sure what the time frame was with that particular order. Maybe Patricia could help us out.
Yes, I can make a question to that. That particular plaque was approved in February of this year, so it was ordered. By the time that the commissioner was added, it was already placed.
So it's like when we approve the name or we approve the part, that's when it goes in?
Yeah, sometimes because it takes so long to get the plaque, it needs to be ordered in advance. And sometimes if things change in between, we don't get to reorder them because they're very expensive. So, but what we're trying to do is wait until the last minute possible to make sure that we have the latest information. So we're trying to do it that way to avoid those situations.
Thank you. My next item is the city's website still shows me as chair.
City's website.
And it also has Commissioner Calvo's term expiring in 2024. It can't be right because he's new.
Correct. Unless he took I don't think he took the place of anybody because we had vacancies. So that, that's under the city clerk's jurisdiction, so we'll send an email.
But they rely on you guys.
Correct. To tell them. Well, yeah, they appoint the commissioners, and they usually will let us know if there's anything funny about that, but we will follow up specifically with them on the accuracy of the commission.
The next item is I got a new e-bike. I've been visiting a lot of the parks. I don't see many bike racks. Is that something we...
There's probably not that many bike racks. I'm trying to think of which locations. I think this location has a bike rack, but I don't know that very many do have any of those.
Okay. Surprised them all, bikers. I saw the new sign at Kumeyaay Park, and it appears to be like a canvas over the existing sign. That's not the permanent?
It's temporary.
Temporary? Okay. The music in the park thing, we got that approved, right?
We have submitted the grant.
Yeah, the money's not available yet.
Okay.
Once the money is available, then we're going to submit the grant and we'll get it all set.
And normally we have it by this time of the year, so it's running a little bit behind. They have notified us that.
A couple of the parks we've been to, we're told that your recreation center, Waterback, some others to say, well, it's convertible to pickleball. Mm-hmm. So what is the procedure? Do pickleball players just come in and set up their net?
It depends on how that is. So, for example, at Montevideo, the lines are there, but there's no net. So indoor, we have nets that we can put up for those. When it's outdoors, it's just like the bocce ball or anything. They would have to bring some of their own equipment. At Grove, if you walked the tennis courts, they also have pickleball courts situated there, and the net is already there, so there's really nothing to do. And that's probably more the way to go, although tennis players won't necessarily think so, but that's kind of how it works. So just lining it doesn't really do a whole lot unless you have your own net. Obviously, they have their own paddles and balls. So
if you show up with your stuff and it's a basketball court that's convertible, you have to hope no one's playing basketball?
It's a first come, first serve. Okay. Yeah, unless you rent out the courts, it'll be first come, first serve.
Okay, and I think this is my last one. Public Works, they used to give us a status on ball fields and status on maintenance and the status on how many water fountains are working, working, status on the lights in the parks. Can we get...
We can request,
something from them?
So generally
they're in charge of it now?
Right. We do ask, or we do invite Public Works, Parks Maintenance, and Park Rangers to be at these meetings because there's a number of questions that are more pertinent and more connected to them. Unfortunately, they couldn't make it today, but we can get those. We do meet with them monthly. We do go over fields and just different things to go on with those so we know exactly what we can program. When it comes to specific questions about the maintenance of it or about the enforcement of it, that's where their attendance here would be very helpful. So I am trying to stay on them about making sure somebody's available to be here. Unfortunately, again, tonight was not one of those nights.
And I appreciate that people show up and ask about Harborside, but you got to understand we're advisory, and we in city council can overrule us. And they overruled us on the off-leash dog thing, and they overruled us on Harborside. So we're doing our best, but it's not our decision. So everyone knows. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you. The time is 7:26. 7:25 p.m. And I'm adjourning this meeting to the regular meeting on November 16th, 2023 at 6:30 p.m.
All right, good job. Yeah. I will say this, your guys' opinion has a point. That's why they have to vote. So that's why everybody comes to you. But I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
And I sent in my vote. I live by J Street, so it affects me, right? And I told them, don't put up a fence. You can put in a dog park, but don't put up a fence.
The guy that showed up.